I'd like to compliment you all on the effort that you're making. It's not easy transforming the mind and our inner reaction to experience is not a small task. But it can be done, little by little and bit by bit. Continue your effort to come to all of the sits and all of the walks. It's okay if you have to move during the sits. Relax for a short while and then begin again. Just by coming, making the effort, you're building patience, endurance, and you're helping to strengthen the mind. In the beginning, it feels a bit like a person starting out to train their body to run a marathon. It's hard going. But after a little training, their body becomes fit and running those long distances becomes easier and easier. One meditation teacher once likened the beginning stages of developing mindfulness as starting one of those old antique cars. You have to get out of the car, go around to the front, and turn the handle. You have to crank and crank and crank, putting forth a lot of effort until the revolutions per minute, RPMs, are sufficient. Then the engine turns over, you can hop in and drive away. With developing mindfulness, it's similar. You have to crank up mindfulness. You have to crank and crank and crank, note come back, note come back, note come back, until the noticings per minute, NPMs, are sufficient. Then the engine of mindfulness turns over. It becomes a little bit more automatic, and you can hop in your vehicle of mindfulness. This is why it's so important to keep the effort continuing. If that person who wanted to start that car went around to the front and cranked, then stopped and rested, and cranked, then stopped and rested, and cranked, then stopped and rested, they'll never get the revolutions per minute sufficient, and they may end up being a lot more tired than if they put that little bit extra effort in the beginning to get the revolutions per minute sufficient. Please be on time to all of the sittings to help prevent disturbing others, and please keep to the schedule. And if you're having any difficulties, please write us a note or talk to us about it in the interviews. We're here to try to help you as best we can. I'd like to give a little bit more instruction concerning the walking meditation, which could be of help to you. First, concerning the posture in the walking. Try not to have the head too far forward. This can cause a lot of tension in the neck and the shoulders. You may be trying to watch your feet, rather than bringing your awareness down through your body and feeling your legs and feet. Try to have the head just slightly tilted forward with the eyes focused about 2 meters in front of you on the ground. You may not see your feet at all. Another reason why tension can come in the neck and the shoulders is if you place your hands behind your back. For many people, this causes the shoulders to be slung forward and the back to bend. If you're putting your hands in this way, and for anybody else who's having a lot of tension arise in the neck and the shoulders, we suggest the following position to the hands. Bring the hands forward, roll the shoulders up towards the ears, around and back, and settle them completely down. Let the arms hang loosely beside you, making sure that the area between the shoulder and the elbow is hanging parallel to the body, loosely. Many people find it very difficult to let go of tension in this area, having a lot of tension in the bicep area. Just let it hang loosely beside you, parallel to the body. Bend the elbows, bring the hands up around about the rib cage, interlock the fingers, have the thumb just touching, but make sure you don't pull it back again in towards the chest, as this makes the elbows to go out and the shoulders to bend forward again. Just hold them out a bit from the chest as though you're holding something very fragile in your hands. With this, you may find less posture-related tension arising in the walking. I like to talk about dealing with the hindrances in the walking. If you're doing the lifting, the moving, and the placing, and you find that your mind's becoming tired or feeling restricted, first note that this has occurred. Tired, restricted. Then quicken your pace. Go to the simple touch of the feet on the ground. If need be, you can broaden your awareness more. You've been focusing on the lifting, the moving, and the placing. This is like the close-up of a camera lens and can build concentration. However, when the mind is feeling tired or feeling restricted, we need to develop more energy in the mind rather than concentration. So try using the wide-angle lens of the camera for a while. Feel the whole body moving through the air against the body, the vision of things advancing towards you, the flow. If need be, you can stop and stand a little longer at each end, strengthening your body awareness, as this may help you when you begin walking again. If you start to feel restless, or your mind is thinking a lot, walk more slowly. Try to notice the subtle changes in the legs and the feet and try to note the action much more continuously and precisely. The mental noting will help to let go of the excess energy in the mind and help to build some concentration. If you start to feel frustrated or angry, try to observe how you're walking. Have you ever observed how an angry person walks, their footsteps often heavy, pounding their anger and frustration into the earth? How much anger, frustration, worry has been pounded into this earth? If you're stepping heavily in this way, consciously at that moment, try to lighten your steps. Try to be as light and graceful and flowing as you can for just one length of your walking track, trying to arrive in each footstep. It's very difficult to hold on to anger and frustration when you do this. As we focus our awareness on walking, trying to be there, we begin to see the mind states that pull us away from the moment. We begin to see into the nature of their energy and characteristics. We can try to soften around our habitual clinging, noting, investigating, letting go with compassion. We can try to work with what arises, seeing what is needed to help us balance the mind and to help us to let go, broadening out our awareness. Focusing in our awareness, making our awareness light and compassionate by stepping lightly, gracefully on the earth. Working with the body and working with the mind and seeing their interrelationship. I like to give a bit more instruction concerning mindfulness of breathing, which may be of help to you. First, try to make it a light awareness, not a forced, strained awareness. If you focus in too much, you may be forcing the breath rather than watching it just as it is. This may mean a constant adjusting of the fineness of your awareness as the breath goes through many changes. An image which could be of help to you is the seashore. You're standing near the seashore, watching the waves come in and go out. You're standing with your feet near the edge, watching the waves lap in and recede. Some waves don't quite make your feet and then go out quickly. Others go further than your feet and then recede slowly. You're simply watching the waves come in and go out. The same with the breathing. Some are long, some are short, some are shallow, some are deep, try to watch, not interfere, just observe. Try to be aware of the whole breath from the beginning to the end. The beginning of the in-breath to the end of the in-breath, to the beginning of the out-breath to the end of the out-breath. Some people have strong awareness of their in-breath and a subtle holding of their breath and little or no awareness of their out-breath. This is because their in-breath is easier to manipulate and see, and their out-breath is more subtle. If you tend to do this, try to focus more attention on your out-breath and try to flow the tension out with the out-breath. Sometimes this occurs because people don't allow a natural pause in the breathing if there happens to be one, getting anxious towards the next in-breath. If you tend to do this, it may be very helpful to rest your awareness on the upper lip if you're watching at the nose area, or if you're watching in the stomach chest area, dropping the awareness to be aware of the touch of the buttocks in the pause. Don't worry, your breath will come again in its own time. I'd like to talk more about mindfulness of other objects that arise in the mind and the body. We've mentioned to make mental notes such as hearing, smelling, wherever these contacts occur, either when you're distracted away from the breathing or these become stronger than the breathing. You may have increased your awareness to be aware of simple actions such as opening, closing doors, eating, etc. Last night, I talked in depth about the five hindrances. So now when you're aware that one of these wandering thoughts is one of the hindrances, you can try to make more precise notings such as desire, aversion, worry. Whatever the hindrances are, if you can make more precise notings, try to do so. Similarly, if the mind goes to the future, you can try to note planning or worry. If it goes to the past, you can try to note remembering. Sometimes the mindfulness isn't so keen, then you find it difficult to recognize them. At these times, it's quite okay to leave the noting simply as wandering, or thinking. As the mindfulness increases, you may be able to recognize them more easily. This is quite an important part of the practice, the noting of the thoughts. In this way, we include the thoughts in our awareness. We usually consider ourselves to be the body and the mind. If we're going to understand the nature of who and what we are, we have to include the thoughts in our awareness. As we begin to observe these thoughts objectively, we begin to understand the energies in the mind that cause us to fall into stress and suffering, understanding more clearly the law of cause and effect of the body and the mind. Giving the opportunity for understanding to arise. Many meditators have a tendency to push the thoughts away, running back to the breathing or the footsteps. This may build concentration, but it also may build a tendency to avoid looking at the thoughts, an aversion and judgment and suppression of the thoughts. With this aversion, judgment and suppression, there's no objective awareness and the ability to understand the nature of the body and the mind, the characteristics of the body and the mind, whether they be pleasant or unpleasant, may not arise. So our main object of concentration is the body, the breathing, and the footsteps. This helps to build a certain concentration and mindfulness, developing a clarity in the mind. Also, because we're trying to stay with one object, we begin to see what draws the mind away from this object and how the mind reacts to these contacts. In this way, we begin to see the different patterns of our thoughts, clingings and aversions much more easily. If we can build a more objective awareness, we can begin to understand the energies in the mind that cause us to fall into stress and suffering, understanding more clearly the law of cause and effect in the mind. We can also be learning how to let go of these energies, either through our objective awareness or by investigating into how they affect the body and the mind, developing more compassionate understanding. We're trying to build a more moment-to-moment awareness, to bring ourselves into the actual moment, trying to let go of the future and the past and experience what is happening in the body and the mind in an exploratory, investigating, objective way, trying not to get lost in the content of the thought, but instead observe their energies, beginning to understand who or what we are. In this way, developing compassionate understanding towards ourselves and towards others.